This is Baby Hour, radio for parenting.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to another Baby Hour. I'm your host, Carolyn M, and I'm absolutely delighted. Today, I've got a gentleman with me. Yes, I've got a daddy on our show today. We're really excited. We've got Tom Creefer. He's the author of the Adventures in Dadding series. And we're really, really, really excited because we haven't had a daddy on before. So welcome, Tom.
Hi. Thank you. Pleased to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So I'm going to go straight into it. And I'm going to say, how did it come about? So you obviously, you met your wife and you got married and you discussed, you know, having children, or you didn't discuss it right away, or how did it come about?
So we're not actually married yet, but me and my partner, we've been together nearly 7 years, and we didn't talk about kids right away. We went off and did some cool stuff. We went traveling, we bought a house, we did that up. But about, I think, about 2017, when we first left to go backpacking around the world, we decided we wanted kids as soon as we got back, but we couldn't have them. It was proving quite difficult. And to the point where doctors told us it would be all but impossible to conceive naturally.
Was it yourself? Or was it your wife had a problem?
It was my partner. There was a few complications, and they told her basically that she needed to have one of her fallopian tubes removed, maybe both of them, which is obviously quite essential to baby making. And we were also put on a waiting list for IVF. So those facts combined meant that we just were not very optimistic about our chances. And then very soon after we were told it's unlikely that we'd conceive naturally, she fell pregnant.
Wow.
And that, yeah.
Wow. That's a wow for a start.
So you really
not expecting it at all. And then you got the fantastic news that you were going to be parents. So
that's right.
You were going to be parents. And so obviously after you jumped up and down and you hugged each other and you went out and had the last few drinks before your wife couldn't drink anymore. So what came next?
So on the day I found out I was going to be a dad, for reasons I'd never been able to understand, but I started writing a few things down in a journal. I've used journaling for a number of years, but mainly as almost like a glorified to-do list. I've never sat down and sort of written thoughts and feelings and experiences in depth. But for whatever reason, I did that day, and then I did it the next day as well. And after a week, I thought, oh, this is a cool practice. It'll be a fun way to document the pregnancy journey from a dad's point of view. My partner she's quite funny anyway, but she really did exhibit some funny qualities while being pregnant. I thought it'd be fun to write down.
Funny qualities. Tell us a little bit. What do you mean by some funny qualities?
Oh, so
she liked eating jam and tomato sauce, or...
I give you one. Is she normally suffers? She's not very patient on the road when she's driving anyway, but with being pregnant, oh, that was dialed up to about 1,000. So that became one of the. I mean, you hear those sorts of stories all the time. The cliche about not angering a pregnant woman. So that was just one example that I thought would be fun. It would be fun to look back in the years to come and what the experience was like for both of us. And then I think I was about a third of the way in to what became the book when I thought, oh, maybe this could be a book. And then I think I was about two thirds in when I thought about publishing. So I'm a complete fluke and accidental author, but that journal capturing pregnancy from a dad's point of view, my experiences, that became my first book.
You clearly didn't go into it because you were looking for information and you couldn't find it and you thought, wow, there's a little niche in the market here. It clearly wasn't that wasn't your path at all. Your path, like you say, was a fluke. It was an accidental path. And do you enjoy writing? Is it cathartic? How do you, you know?
Incredibly cathartic. It's a practice that I've maintained since the day I found out I was going to be a father. My little boy, he'll be 2 in November. I write to him every day. Every day I write to him. And it marries two passions. One, it sort of helps with the parenting because I get to reflect on just my role as a father, something that's obviously become a big part of my life. And I get to write. I get to, there's a lot of opportunities to be quite creative in the way I write to him. So it sort of solves for that sort of spiritual goal I have of being a writer, and as I say, helps with the parenting as well. So it's really good.
Are you kind of hoping that maybe when he's 20, you'll present him when he graduates from college or whatever, you'll present him with his book, or that you haven't thought
something,
that far ahead?
At some point, something like that, I hope will happen. But I ask other parents, I ask other grandparents a lot. Like, I'd ask them what they thought of the idea and if they thought it would be a good idea to publish it. And overwhelmingly, everyone said yes. And they said they wished that they had done that practice. They wish they had wrote things down. They wish their parents had wrote things down. When my partner was pregnant, her mum dug out her old medical notes from when she was pregnant. And it was just really fascinating just to look at the medical notes from sort of 35 years ago. And so to get that sort of response just from looking at some medical notes, I'm hoping that to have the whole experience documented, his early years documented in that way, I'm hoping it's a good sentimental investment for something we have for years down the line.
And also, like, young people these days, or younger people than me, they don't write things down anymore. They really don't. Everything is there. And I think we're going to have quite a big loss, your generation, Generation X or whatever you call them, because when we have a reunion, well, everybody brings a little something, but we don't have photos of every fart. We really don't, you know, but you guys, like, you've got everything. So what's the point of having a reunion? You know, what's the point of meeting people that you met 15 years ago? Just look on Facebook, you know, it's going to flick up to you, you know, basically. So I really love the idea of going back to writing things down, you know, and having children reading books again. Because I think it's a really important skill that we have a big possibility that we might lose it, you know, in generations to come.
Yeah, I really hope that's not the case. But writing, yeah, books are very important to me. Books are something we have a lot of, certainly in our approach to parenting. I always encourage other parents they don't have to write things down and go become authors and publish books. Release them publicly, but they can, you know, you can spend a couple of minutes each day writing down some highlights from the day or things that scared you. No one needs to read it. You can write anything you like. So I think journaling offers a whole range of capabilities that I agree with you. They're certainly underutilized. So I'll always bang on the drum for journaling to anyone I speak to.
Okay, so back to the daddy. So Daddy Tom, think of a few things that you learned or you would like to pass on, a few things that you think are important, whether it be about nappy changing or whether it be about talking to your baby or whether it be about looking him in the eye or whatever, a few things that you think are, like, you want other dads to think, well, it's not so hard, it's not so difficult, you know, give us a few pointers of, you know, or what would you say, is there a right and a wrong way of doing things, or is that very personal as well?
I think it's definitely personal. I can give a few pointers of what worked well for me. The one rule I encourage everyone to do is as we covered, is write your children. I definitely encourage that. But I've got a few more for you. When my son was born, I took 4 months off, which people's circumstances might not allow for that. But my advice is to try and take as much time as your circumstances will allow for, particularly for dads. In the UK, dads typically get a couple of weeks paternity leave and then they're expected to go back to the work. In the US, I know it's even worse. They really don't get a lot of time off.
And then they're not even paid in the US. It's unpaid leave, which is so unfair in the US.
So
I had an expert on actually from the States talking about financing for your baby. And he said, always look out for, you've got to put money aside for the time that you're going to be off work, because in the States, they don't get paid. They really, you know, they don't get paid, which we find unbelievable.
It's very hard to reconcile that. I don't agree with that at all.
So were both you and your partner together for the first 4 months, or did she return to work before you?
Well, it ended up being a lot longer because my boy, he's a COVID baby. He was born just a few months before the UK's first lockdown.
Oh, lockdown, yeah.
I, Yeah, so I took 4 months. So in the UK, we have this scheme called shared parental leave, which basically it came out in 2015, government scheme, and it allows dads to share some of the mum's maternity leave. That's how it works. So we wanted to opt into that. So I took 4 months off. We were both off at the same time. Then when I went back to work, I was only back for 3 days when we got sent home because of the UK's first lockdown. So me taking the 4 months off and the obviously COVID meant that I had, it just meant that he's always had me around. So while I accept COVID is, you know, that's a very special set of circumstances, I still think it's worth looking at what you've, a lot of, like your, the other chat you interviewed, finances and things like that, but just look at your circumstances and see if you can engineer it so that you have as much time off as possible, particularly in those early weeks. They really are sacred and special with your newborn, and you want them as much time to bond as possible. So I always prioritize that. Try and take as much time off as possible.
Okay, so you've got over your first 6 months, and you've enjoyed most of it. I'm sure there's bits that you didn't enjoy, or there's bits that scared you, or where you know you're putting up your hands and maybe wringing your hands a little bit. I mean, yes, he's gorgeous, but my God, he won't stop crying. You know, tell us a little bit about that.
So he, as a baby, he was generally very good as a baby, especially with sleep. So we got really lucky with sleep. He was sleeping through, I think, from about 7 weeks. But where we got lucky with sleep, he had a few medical ups and downs during the first year. That was very tough to sort of work through as a parent. He was misdiagnosed with congenital cataracts. He was misdiagnosed, but we didn't know that at the time. So when we were told that news, we were getting mentally prepared for a lot of surgeries, a lot of trips to the hospital. Just a pretty rubbish time as a parent. We were told that we wouldn't know how successful the surgery to remove the cataract would be. There could be some long-term serious damage to one of his eyes. That's horrible to sit down in a doctor's room and to hear that. I mean, as I say, it ended up being they got it wrong, a bit like when they told us we couldn't have kids. So that ended up being quite a good news story, but it certainly, we had some difficult periods during the first year. God, nothing prepares you for that. There's no guidebook that can prepare you for that. That's a very difficult one to go into as a parent. But one thing I would say is another thing I would always advise is just prioritize teamwork with your partner. Assuming you have a partner and you're not a single parent. If there's two of you sharing responsibility, you're like the ultimate team now.
Well, that's what they said. They always have said that the two have the power of four or five, and one has the power of a half, if you like.
Yeah, completely
agree. And it's true. I can, from personal experience, I can say that's true. I was a single parent for forever, really.
Yeah, my mum too. My mum was a single parent. I hats off to any single parent. I have a baby who's generally been slept quite well. My partner is amazing. She's a wonderful mum, and we still struggle. I still find it hard. It's, you know, you don't clock
well,
off.
Well, here you've got another 20 years or so. It doesn't really, you know. I mean, my son's 40 now, and still sometimes I still sometimes kind of wring my hands a little bit. You know, I've moved on, obviously, to my mom. I've got two grandchildren now, and even the older one now. The older one was, he was absolutely glued to me everywhere, every time, ever wanted to go with me. But now he's 13 years old, and I also don't live in the UK anymore. And he hasn't even got time to talk to me on the phone. Oh, I'm watching a film now, you know, I'm this, I'm that. Yeah. But now the little one, who's now 9, so he's my... he's my new confidant. And also he's a very nosy little chat. He knows everything that's going on in the family. You know, if I need to know something, then you go straight to him. You know, he gave me the other day, I'm not allowed to say, so I can't even put it on the podcast. He told me a secret that I'm not allowed to tell his mom. So we'll go move back to you. So you're saying that try as hard as possible to work as a team. Do you have like this is might be a silly one, but not really. Do you have like a team meeting maybe at the end of the day or the end of the week to discuss, you know, your anything that you think that you could have done better, or any new situations that you want, you want to discuss? Do you have like a team meeting, or is it very informal?
So that's exactly what we do. I'm really glad you asked that. Yeah, in the early days, we would just sit down every day. We would look at when he was up, when he was feeding, and we would just say, are we good here? Do we think we've got a problem? Do we need to amend anything? So we would do that, as I say, daily during the early days. But now we try and have a team meeting, as you say, once a week. We sit down, and this is a great piece of advice just for relationships in general, not just parenting, but me and my partner will sit down. We will look at silly things like the food plan for the next week. We'll look at who's doing nursery pickups and drop-offs. We'll look at anything we have to do and just divide and conquer. And we'll also just check in with each other. It's a good way to, right, because
it's a leveler. You would say it's a leveler.
It is. And rather than getting stressed out and maybe a bit resentful towards each other, if you're having any issues in the relationship and waiting for things to sort of explode, we have that as a bit of a fail safe, a safety net. So every week we can just check in and we'll start the conversation by discussing sort of very boring house dynamics. As I say,
like you didn't buy the toilet paper last week, and
silly things like that we can just fix. And then it's a good platform for us to say, look, are we okay? Are there any issues? Because particularly if you're parents, you want your relationship needs to be good, right? It needs to be stable. You need to be doing well with each other.
Indeed.
You need to be the best versions of yourselves so you can be that for your children.
Indeed. We're just about to run out of time. So what I want you to do is tell us, where can we get your book, and where can we go, website, etc., etc. And go for it.
Yeah, so come and say hello. My website is my name, Tom Creffer. That's K-R-E-F-F-E-R. No, it's a tricky one. .com. Deodori is available from all the major platforms you can find. And Dear Arlo will be. It comes out on the 14th of September. But if you head to my website, links for everything are there. All my social media handles are there. I've got a newsletter that people quite enjoy.
Excellent.
The Adventures in Daddy newsletter. Drop me a line if you want to ask me any questions or anything.
Excellent. It's been an absolute joy, and I must say I've learned something. I mean, we girls, still call myself a girl, I suppose, we girls, we don't ever really think much about you guys. You know, you're like, you put the baby in and that's about your input, really doesn't go. Anyway, what I want to say is thanks ever so much. I'm sure that the guys and the girls too are going to be really, really happy to tune in and to hear your, a man's point of view. And we hope to have you on again very, very soon. Thanks for joining us on Baby Hour today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
This is Baby Hour, radio for parenting.